Disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Got to confess to you, I'm kind of in one of those teaching modes this morning, if you know what I'm talking about. And something I got, well, the Holy Spirit's really kind of laid it on me pretty thick. So I want to dive into that here in a second. You won't believe this. We're having a baby today. Abby, our oldest daughter, she's been pregnant, of course. Well, she went to the doctor yesterday, or 2 days ago, and they said, we're going in tomorrow morning, 7:30, boom. We're going to get that little thing. We're going to induce it and get it out of there.
Boom.
So we get up this morning and we find out that the maternity ward, I can hear you, Spence, talking over me. The maternity ward beds are full. No beds in the maternity ward. I guess not. COVID must not be killing babies yet. Anyway, so a little bit of a delay. It's going to happen today. I thought that she was going to be induced at 7:30 this morning, and she was. Of course, you can imagine Michelle, grandma, all excited and everything going on there. But it's not, she's not being induced, but not yet anyway, probably later on this morning. So just be in prayer about that. And I got to get up, and as soon as the show's over, can't get into much of a dialogue after the show. Gotta go. So bear with me. Got a lot on our mind here today. Is there an open heaven over me? I talked to somebody the other day, and they didn't know they thought I just had one grandbaby. And I said, no, we had more than one. They said, oh, I have two. No, we've had three grandbabies in the last 4 months. It's pretty amazing, isn't it? Isn't that amazing? And Lord, keep dropping them in here. I don't know how many more Abby and Maggie and Adrian can have. I don't know. But we'll take them, because the Bible says to be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And, you know, I run into Christians a lot who say to me, not directly to me, but in the middle of the conversation, I hear them say, why would anybody want to bring a child into this world? And what? They say, yeah, at this time, this place, everything is going on. Why would anybody bring a child into this world? Man, this is conquering time. Are you kidding me? This is building a kingdom time. We ought to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Think of what's happened in America. We talked about it yesterday, not just with the abortions. The leading cause of death in America, in the world, abortions. Think about that. How many have we killed through birth control? I mean, unbelievable, right? The Lord told us to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. What if Christians had been having babies? What if the Catholics were right and birth control was a sin? What if the Catholics were right? And whenever you saw a big family, you knew they were Catholic because they were following the teachings of the church. You don't even see Catholics having big families anymore, do you? So Abby and Morgan are having their fourth today. Maggie and Isaiah have had their fourth already. Zach had his first. Hopefully we'll have more. We'll see. How many of you grew up in a family like that? I had four brothers and sisters. Everybody had lots of kids. What's going on? At what point did we begin to see children as a burden to our own livelihoods? When the Lord said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. When the Bible says the children are a heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb is his reward. That's the judgment on America in my mind. We hear people today talking about shouldn't be having children. What Bible are you reading? We'll say, oh, yeah, but coach, things are getting so bad. That's right. That's why we need some warriors. That's why we need some soldiers. Folks, we are in the midst of, I don't know. Calm me down here, Lord. Listen to me. I'm sorry about your theology, whatever your theology is. I don't even know what mine is. I don't even know what my end time eschatology is, to be honest with you. I really don't know. But I think I have one. I think the Bible tells me that occupy till he comes. I think it says that, occupy till I come, and that his kingdom's coming and his will's going to be done on earth. I think those two things are true. And the idea that we're supposed, that we're losing and we're going to be evacuated out of here just goes against every bone in my body. As a football coach, I would call that quitting. If I was coaching a football team and they stopped playing midway through the third quarter because we were never going to win, I would never coach that team again, or I'd find a bunch of other players. Because the idea of it is to fight until the very end, man. You fight until till the whistle blows, till that final gun sounds. You fight until the very end. That's the nature of what we're supposed to be about. And friends, that's not the attitude of Christianity. And it could be that we're in this position that we're in now because we've believed a lie. We've had the wrong mindset. Maybe it's not a lie. Maybe the rapture, I'm not talking about the rapture being a lie, but a mindset. Do you have any idea? Oh my goodness. I'll just say it. Right wing, watch, I'll just say it. Do you have any idea how many leftists are going to be dead 3 years from now? Do you guys have any idea? Do you have any idea? Has it dawned on you that 3 years from now, the only people left standing in America, maybe those of us who didn't take the jabs. Somebody give me a thumbs up so you don't, I know you're tracking on the same way I am. And rather than thinking about, as I said the other day, thinking about an evacuation, maybe we ought to be thinking about an excavation. There's a big changes coming to the world. And the devil and his plan to depopulize the world's killing his own kids. He's not killing our kids. He's not killing Christian kids. He's killing his own kids. It's a suicide. What a time for the church to arise. Do you have any idea how the hearts of people are going to be open when loved ones begin to die? Nobody wants that to happen to anybody. But can you imagine what America will be like when people begin to see loved ones drop over dead? And the idea of heaven and hell and life and death becomes real to them. Their loved one gone. Their loved one dropping over, their loved one going to, come on, man. We're in the midst of like the most unbelievable time in the history of the world right here, right now. Is the end of the world, is it near? I don't know, but I can tell you this. There's going to be a lot of people, if the statistics are true and they're proven out to be true, there's going to be a lot of dead Americans, folks. There's going to be a lot of them. And it ain't going to be me. It might be me. I mean, nobody had promises. Tomorrow's promise to nobody, right? It could be me. It could be Betty. It could be Larry. It could be any of us. We know that, right? Life is a vapor. It's here and it's gone. But I'm going to say this. Odds are pretty good that we're going to be the last one standing. Do you understand that? We're going to be the last one standing. That Jesus is going to take us through, not pull us out. That's my mindset. That's my theology, whatever that is. He took them through the Red Sea. Who died in the Red Sea? Did God's people die in the Red Sea? No, it was the enemy that died in the Red Sea, friends. And we're in a Red Sea moment in America. And I'm telling you, God's people are going through it, not out. We're going through it. And they're going to be dropping on all sides of us. And I'm not rejoicing in it. There are going to be church-going Christians who are going to die. Church-going Christians are going to die. Church-going Christians, maybe in your family, are going to die. It's going to happen, friends. How do I know? Well, everything you've been saying so far about it appears to be true. It appears to be true. And so we're sitting here and we're wondering, you know, how we're supposed to act and what we're supposed to do. That's what I'm going to teach about today. If you give me a chance. I think this is good. Come on, Benny. You got something to say? Go ahead real quickly before I really dive into this thing. No?
I don't have my hand raised.
Well, Benny.
Paul did.
Paul, I thought that was Vinny. Vinny always makes up a new name. Is that you, Vinny, or not? No?
Yeah, I'm here. I had the hand up. I was giving you the thumbs up, and I forgot to put the volume thing down.
All right, cool. Got you. Okay, cool. All good, Vinny. All good. Okay, listen. I'm going to be on with John Diamond today on Brighteon TV. John and I are going to be on together at, I think his show starts at, I should know, 9 o'clock. I think John's show starts. So that's one of the reasons I got to get off. And don't forget the ChristianRevolution.net. We'll talk more about it tomorrow, okay? But I pray all of you guys are getting ready to go somewhere, hold up a flag, plant a flag. Folks, there's a Christian revolution. We are so set up, like bowling. The bowling pins are so set up for us to win this thing, for us to roll a strike, maybe a split, maybe, but we're at least going to get a spare. We are so set up for victory. I'm sorry if you can't see it. But we would ask all of you to get involved with us tomorrow, thechristianrevolution.net. Yada, 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 yada. A lot of great stuff going on. But I got something really. Our friend across the pond there, Joe, sent me something yesterday, a video that just, boy, did it really resonate with me. Yeah, go to thechristianrevolution.net, learn more about it, celebrate Freedom Day, all that kind of stuff. But I'm not going to, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Excuse me. And this came across my mind. Again, I spoke about this a couple weeks ago, but I think we need to do it again, all right? Spencer, pull up Webster's Dictionary authority. 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 Is Jesus King of Kings and Lord of Lords or not? Is God all-powerful, omniscient, omnipotent? Is God King of Kings and Lord of Lords or not? Did Jesus give us the power and authority at the cross or not? Did he at the cross say, all power is given unto me? All authority, delegated authority. He said, all authority is given unto me, and I'm giving it unto you. We call that delegated authority. Delegated authority. Amen. My dad gave the order. I got the order from my dad, and I tell those, we're running a business, right? My dad runs the business, owns the business. I'm working for my dad. I'm the general manager. He says, do this. I give the message to my, look what's going on with vaccinations. We're seeing authority handed down. You ask people, why are you wearing a mask? Well, they say we have to. Well, who's they? Well, they can't even tell you who they, corporate. Well, who's corporate? See, there's an authority structure somewhere, isn't it? And the authority structure, especially in the church, the authority structure is falling apart. We don't know who the authority is anymore. we don't know. Because we've lost that authority structure, we're in confusion. So I'm going somewhere. Thanks to Joe Carrico for making me aware of this. Authority is legal power. Oh, wait a minute. Legal power. Not just power, but legal power. So authority is, if they want you to wear a mask, they have the power. Do they have the legal power to do that? That's the question. See, that's what makes something authoritative. You have the authority, right? So it's the legal power or the right to command or to act as the authority of a prince over subjects and of parents over children. Power, rule, and sway. I had to spank my little granddaughter yesterday. She's about, I don't know, cracked her on the butt yesterday. That's pretty amazing to her to have a grampy. I think it's scared to be whatever out of her. Her grampy spanking her? Yeah, I spanked her. Why? Because I'm the authority. And I told her that. Your daughter, your mommy's my daughter, and you're not going to act like that. And I cranked her butt, right? Wow, right. Because why? It's the power derived from opinion, respect, or esteem, influence of character or office, as the authority of age or example, which is submitted or to be respected in some measure as a law or a rule of action. Authority, testimony, witness, or the person who testifies, weight of testimony, credibility, weight of character, respectability, dignity, warrant, order, permission. By what authority do you do these things? Matthew 21 through 23. Precedents, decisions of court, official declaration, respectable opinions, governments, persons of body exercising power. Folks, if they're exercising an order without authority, it's null and void. An order without authority is null and void. Are you guys with me? You picking up what I'm saying here? So we're living in a time and in a place where there is no authority. There is no authority other than when they change government on us, then the authority structure changes, right? The authority structure changes. And we see now that the Democrats are in control. Punishments changed, right? Go back to January 6th. I got to show you this real quick. Spencer, pull up Ohioans arrested. I just saw this. Columbus Dispatch today. It says Dispatch, third article down, Dispatch. There are 38 Ohioans charged so far. This is today. in the Capitol riot. And so I went down there, and scroll down through there, Spencer, and it gives their charges, their names, their charges. And let's just look at some of these charges. Did you guys, do they have the authority to make these charges? Violent entry. Jared Hunter Adams, violent entry and disorder conduct in Capitol building. That's a crime? What did that become a crime? Conduct in a Capitol building. Whoa, you switched on me. Parading, demonstrating, or picketing in the Capitol building. That's a crime? That's a crime? Scroll on down. Steve Ayers charges disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building. On grounds, disorderly conduct in the Capitol building. What? Case is still pending. Scroll on down. Disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds. What? Keep on going. Charges include violent entry and disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds, parading, demonstrating, or picketing in any of the folks, where, what? What is this? Where are these things coming from? So it goes on down 50 some people who are charged with these made up crimes, parading, demonstrating, or picketing in the Capitol. How about this one? How about, they'll stay right there. Engaging in physical violence in restricted buildings or grounds, disorderly conduct in the Capitol, stepping, climbing, removing, or injuring property in Capitol. What? Charges include disorderly conduct on a Capitol building, parading, demonstrating, picketing in the Capitol building, obstruction of lawful during civil disorder. What are you talking about? These things are made up, folks.
Lawlessness.
You ever heard of any of these? What? It's crazy.
Lawlessness. That's all it is.
It's lawless. It's power without authority. Look, this guy pleaded guilty to what? To disorderly conduct in a Capitol building. Disorderly conduct in a Capitol building. Somebody made a law about that? He's 45 days incarcerated. Some guy got home arrest. I'd stay home for 50. What? What? Plead guilty to parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building. And sentenced on December 1st to 24 months probation, including 2 months of home confinement. Gonna stay home for 2 months for what? What? Okay, hang on. So we're talking about authority, right? Authority. Well, Joe yesterday led me to something that just absolutely blew my mind. I'm trying to get this in order here as I was putting this thing together, all right? Go to King James. It says right under centurion. Now, play the centurion. I'm sorry, folks. I told you I was in a teaching mood here this morning. This is from Jesus of Nazareth, okay? This is, well, just watch it. Go ahead. When Jesus had finished teaching the people, he went to Capernaum. There a centurion's servant, whom his master valued highly, was sick and about to die. So a slave was about to die. Centurion heard of Jesus and decided to find him and ask him to come and heal his servant. We're talking about delegated authority.
Fresh today, I picked them myself.
You go the same.
The servants went out and invited everybody they met.
A Roman here? Good
and bad.
Is he a centurion?
So the wedding hall was full of people.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry if I disturbed you, Rabbi, but I would like to ask you a great favor. I have a servant in my house. I've had him a long while. And he's good, loving, more like a son than a servant. He's very sick, dying, I fear. Rabbi, in all humility.
You would like me to come to your house? Very well. I will come with you.
No. I am unworthy that you should enter under my roof. I know that if you say the word, my servant will be healed. I am a man under authority, but I myself have authority over 100 soldiers, and if I say to one of them, do this, I know that he will do it. And if I say to another, go there, I know that he will go. I need not see. I know. So it is enough that you give the word, and it will be done.
Do you hear this, man? I have seldom found such faith among the people of Israel. Go home. Your faith has cured your servant.
So the Holy Spirit told me that faith, there is power in faith in whom you trust. All right? If you trust in the government, there is power there, but the power rests in the government. It doesn't rest in the individual. What you're watching right here is a man who believes something, didn't need proof of it, said, I understand how authority works, and I understand something goes on when you speak the word, and I know it because I understand the authority. I understand how it works, that when you speak it, people obey. We don't understand authority. We Christians do not understand authority. If we understood authority, we would not be in the mess that we're in today. We wouldn't be. Now, Jesus told us, if you could, Spencer, sorry, folks, I'm working this out in my own. A lot of you want to get in here. Hang on, I don't want you in here yet. Spencer, go to, where is it? Lord, help me out. I'm looking for Corinthians. I think it's down at the bottom. King James, third from the bottom, Spencer. Silver, you in here? Silver's always in here.
Yes, sir.
1 Corinthians chapter 3. Go ahead, Silver.
And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ.
Remember I was saying to you yesterday, the natural man receives not the things of the spirit, can't get it. This is what's what he's saying here. So I got to speak to you like babes, because you don't get it. Keep going, Joe.
I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able.
Why, Joe?
For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?
Boy, is that ever true.
For while one saith, I am of Paul.
I'm a Baptist. I'm a Lutheran. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Catholic.
Are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase.
Don't miss this. I've done my job. I planted. Apollos did his job. And then God intervened. What? Say it again, coach. I did what I was supposed to do. My buddy did what he was supposed to do. And then God moved. Do you see this, friends? I planted, Silver watered, and then God moved. It isn't God moved, and then I prayed and thanked him. That's not the way faith works. I planted it. Somebody else came along and watered it, did their job, and boom, look what's happened here. Keep going, Joe.
So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor.
How does he receive his reward, Joe?
According to his own labor.
According to his own labor, right? In other words, whether he did his part in this thing called Christianity, he's going to be rewarded as to whether he planted and whether he watered. And whether he planted or whether he watered, if he did what he was supposed to do, then God brought an increase, right? Would God bring an increase if he hadn't planted? And if Apollos hadn't watered, would God have brought an increase? No. No, that would be called a miracle, wouldn't it? That would have been taking some loaves of bread and dividing it in 5,000 people. That would be a miracle. But even that wouldn't have worked if somebody hadn't brought a little bit of bread. Somebody brought a little bit of bread anyways for it to start with, right? Now watch this. Don't miss this, because this is critical. Verse 9, Joe.
For we are laborers together with God.
Stop, Joe. What's that say, folks? We are laborers together with God. We are laborers together with God. In other words, we got to do something before God can move. We are laborers together. He cannot move. Oh, he can. He will not move if we don't plant and we don't water. Do you see the connection here? And we're looking around at what's going on in America, and we say, Lord, Oh, Lord, save. No, no, no. He's going to save us as one plants and another man waters. When he does that, then God moves. Why? Because planting and watering is an act of faith. It's an act of faith. You put a seed into the ground. You don't know whether that thing's going to grow or not, but you believe it will. In fact, you believe it so much that one of your buddies comes along and puts water on top of it. And a few months later, what happens? Boom. You get a crop out of it. But when you, by even putting it in the ground, it took faith. By even watering it, took faith. So we did our part. And then God says, okay, I'll do mine. So hang on, I'm going somewhere. For you are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. What's husbandry? What is God's husband? Look that up, Spencer. Husbandry. Husbandry. What? We're God's husbandry? Frugality, domestic, economy, good management, thrift, the business of a farmer, comprehending agriculture, tillage of the ground, the raising and managing and fattening of cattle and other domestic animals, the management of the dairy, whatever the land produces. We're the care of domestic affairs. We are God's people who are in charge of taking care of what he's given to us. Do you understand this? Do you see this? We're working together on this. We're in this together. Huh? Good husbandry. Go back, Spence, to the scripture. Stay with me. I told you I got to get this off my chest. For we are laborers together with God. Look, friends, we're working together. We are working together with God. You are God's husbandry. Hey, Joe, you are God's building. How much more clear can it be, friends? According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise, what kind of builder, Joe?
Master builder.
Master builder. Go ahead, Joe.
I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon.
Wow, wait a minute. I've laid the foundation, somebody else built it?
But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest.
Manifest means you're going to see it. You're going to see every man's work.
For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward.
Wow!
If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire.
So in other words, all that vain stuff that you're building your life upon, it's going to be burned. It's not a salvation issue. It's not a salvation issue. It's all going to be burned. You're going to suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. Hey, Joe, what's next 16 says?
Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you?
Wow.
If any man defile the temple of God, him will God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. Which temple ye are?
Hey, Joe, who's going to destroy that temple?
God.
God himself's going to destroy that temple. Huh? Why are all those people going to die? It's right here. It's right here in front of us. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy. And that's what you are. You are his temple. But he warns us, Joe, what?
Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise.
Yes.
For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are in vain, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things yet to or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's.
Okay, folks, so we're talking about a business partnership here that we call a covenant. A covenant. We are in covenant with God. When you become a child of God, you are in covenant with it. Now, we don't understand it. We don't understand the covenant. So I want to share something that Joe shared with me yesterday. It blew me away. Gotta tell you, I made my wife sit down and watch it last night. Spencer says down to the bottom, 30-minute mark. And Spencer, I want you to put it on the played at about 1.5 speed. Robin Bullock, I'd heard of Robin before, and I'd heard of Steve Schultz before, the ElijahList.com. But Joe sent this yesterday to me, and it absolutely. So here we are at the 30-minute mark, and Robin is going to talk to us about this idea of covenant. I don't know if we can. I think we can play it at 1.5 speed. And I want you to let this minister to your heart today. Folks, listen. let me make this very, very clear. There's a world around us that we cannot access physically. We cannot get there. It's a world around us. And there's a world around us that those up there can't access in here unless through the power of the Holy Spirit, unless they're invited in. We can't see what's going on around us, but it's a partnership. God is up there with all authority, and he's given that delegated authority to you and to me. All power has been given unto me, both in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. He delegated that authority to us. And what did he say? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He wants the authority of God manifested on heaven, and it's done through a blood covenant. Go ahead and play this, 1.5 speed. It'll be about 7 minutes, but it'll be worth it. Go ahead.
So I said, well, okay, but hurry. He said, I was in heaven. And he said, there was this big throne and there was this marble looking floor. And he said, there was these people lined up facing each other. And he said, and there was somebody, he talked about broke loose dancing. And he's telling me all this stuff.
The exact same thing.
Yeah. And then he looked at me and he said, he just stopped. And he said, you were there. I saw you there.
Wow.
See, he undoubtedly was on the other side. And saw
me. Across the room, across the way.
Yeah, wherever he was, he saw me. And so he told me the very things I had seen without us talking at all in the same service. And the Lord said, yes, the whole family in heaven and earth. He said, while you're having a praise service here, we're having one there.
Okay, wow.
And you're connected as a family. And so I crossed that line, that light line that morning and saw it. Well, the Lord, and to say all of this, the Lord has his family plugged into everything he does. See, there's not one thought that he has that doesn't include you. Every thought he has includes you and me. And he can think of all of us at the same time. And so he links us together in the spirit, and he made us in his image and in his likeness, and he made us co-laborers with him, the scripture says.
Co-laborers.
Well, see, co-laborers, and this will answer the question you asked me. Co-laborers are like the cockpit of a big 747, you know. It has this line drawn down the middle of it, and you have the pilot and the co-pilot. Now, when you're sitting up there, this cockpit is so huge, it's so massive, and there's so many switches on it, so many things, that when they get up there, you don't see the pilot get up on the dash up there and crawl across the dash and go over there and throw switches on that side. And the co-pilot doesn't do that either, going to the pilot's side. They both got their checklist, and the pilot will throw the switches on his side of the line, and then he'll say, would you throw that switch for me on your side? And the co-pilot says, sure, and he reaches up and throws the switch. And then the co-pilot will say, would you throw the switch for me on that side of the line? Well, sure. And the pilot throws them on his side of the line. The Bible said we're co-laborers with God. We have our side of the line, the light line of the spirit, down here in this realm. We have to throw certain switches down here that he can't throw from up there.
Interesting.
And he has to throw switches there that we can't throw down here.
That's
so
good.
That's what Jesus did. He gave us himself, and now we have access with his name, and we call through his name. And the scripture says whatever we bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So when you go to God and you say, I'm going to pray over this, Lord. I'm praying, and the Lord will move on you. Pray over this. Throw this switch on your side of the line.
Oh, that's
Take
true.
My word, and he'll give you his word. See, because faith begins where the will of God is known. That's where faith begins. And the will of God is his word. That's his will right there.
Okay,
and
stop
so
right
you
there.
You start praying his word. Then
stop. So, folks, listen. We got to start right there. First of all, he's the pilot. He turns his switches on. We're the overhead beside him. We got to turn our switches on. If we don't turn our switches on, this plane won't fly. This plane won't fly. In other words, God has a job to do, and we have a job to do. We're co-laborers. We're co-laborers in this. But here's what he just said was so important. See, if we don't think we're going someplace, we're not going to throw the switch. If we don't think that God is going to help us occupy till he comes, if we don't move in action to turn on our switch after he's given us the authority by turning on his switch, if we have a mindset that we can't do anything here and now, it's all done by over here, we never kick the switch over here. That's what faith is all about. We don't have that kind of faith. The church today does not believe that all we have to do is hit our switch and ask him to hit his. Boom. In fact, we like to tell everybody a fuse is blown. No sense hitting those fuses. They're all blown. We're going to be out of here soon because the plane's on fire. It's an issue of authority. And so we don't believe that God is going to do what he said he can do. And he's going to say to us, all power's been given unto me. He hit his switch. And he said us, and he says, you turn on your switch. And we don't do it. Then we say, where's God? Where's God? And he says, well, dude, plow your row. Turn on your switch. Go to the school board. Run for office. Dude, go do something. My switch is on. And if the plane goes down, it isn't the Lord's fault. It's because we don't have the faith. It's a blood covenant. It's a blood covenant. It's a mixing of blood. He made a blood covenant that all power is given unto us. Why are we letting the devil run everything? Because that's the way we're taught. That's the way we're taught in church. Things coming. Whatever. No, we still got some power switches over here we can hit. No, don't hit those power switches. God's about to crash the plane. We'll be okay. He's going to crash the plane, but we'll be okay because we'll have parachutes and we'll jump out before the plane crashes. And the Lord's sitting over there and said, dude, would you hit your switch? Would you please just hit your switch? Would you please? We just read it, what he talked about. One man plants and another man waters. In other words, God blesses action. He doesn't bless inaction. And I'm going to tell you this. God is raising up doers. And this time, like we have never seen. Like we have never seen. Doers being raised up now. And I know this, that the Lord will respond when he sees us push our button. He's pushing hers, his. I promise you. He's sitting there right now, ready to push the button. But he's waiting on you to push yours. Come on in, Roger. Yeah. No? Bernie.
Yeah, thanks, Coach. This is an observation of, not an argument for, but it's interesting to see that there are women who will wear a head covering when they're praying in church, and there are women who complain about that and say they would never, but they'll put on a face mask, a face covering, to go out in public. So it's not about authority or non-authority, but about legitimate authority.
That's legitimate authority. Confusion, right? Confusion.
Right.
Why?
Right.
Because we don't know our authority, right? We don't know our authority. Hey, Bernie, why do I have to have a head covering to go into Catholic church? Some bishop said I had to? Really? Really? Come on in, Myra.
That came from Paul. But I went to the Capitol when I was in high school, and I had to take off my hat. I had to take off my hat to be in the Capitol of the United States.
I got you. Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
Why? Because you bowed to that authority, right?
Oh! My son's expecting. Okay, so I'm excited. I'm gonna get 2 grandbabies this year. So.
And awesome. Myra.
Good morning, Saints. How you doing? Coach, God bless you. I'm so happy to see that you talking about Robin DeBullock. He's a precious prophet from the Lord. Thank you. And in regard to the wicked, we read in Ezekiel 18:23, have I pressure at all that the wicked shall die, save the Lord, and not that he shall return from his ways and live. Thank you.
Hey, folks, can I tell you this? Oh, this is going to make some of you mad. I think the Lord's ambivalent about the wicked dying. That's what I think. Ambivalent. I think the Lord says, hey, that's what you chose. I think he's ambivalent. We don't understand that, see? And we're sitting around, we're waiting for the Lord to move, and he's saying, dude, you move. You do it. You do it. I'll move. I've already hit my switch. Come on in, Rochelle.
Hi, good morning, team. Hi, Coach. I just, a couple of thoughts, and you might yell at me, but I might need to be yelled at, so that's okay. So first, you know, Adam was commanded to take dominion over the earth. He was commanded to do it. And, you know, that was our intention, was to be for man to have dominion over the earth. Now, I don't think that he didn't say it's for the Baptist or he didn't even say it was for the heathen or the Christian. He gave it to all mankind. So as long as the Christian doesn't have any more claim than the heathen, I think the righteous and the wicked, it all belongs to the descendants of Adam, right? Unless you believe there are two seed lines, then we're all descendants of Adam. Then as long as we remain human, anybody can take control of this earth. Adam's birthright is merited through our genome, I think. And so our authority comes through that, whether we're good or bad. But what you say about the division, I have Psalm 115:16. The heavens are the Lord's heavens, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. So, and when Jesus said to his disciples, I give all authority unto you, you know, those were some great men who traveled around with Jesus for 3.5 years and saw amazing things. And sometimes I don't know if I can pick up that mantle.
Well, there's the issue. Is he in control of earth or not? When he hung on the cross and he said, it is finished, what was finished? Well, 1 John 3:8, for this purpose was the Son of Man manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil, that he might destroy the dominion of the devil. All authority's been given. He came, he took it back. He says, that's it. I've got it back. It's in your hands now. And that's the way I read it. Jonathan, come on in.
Yes, welcome. I've been getting a new revelation on the word that Jesus gave us, and he said, be salt. That salt is tied to our activity. If we don't have any activity, we're not salt. Therefore, being light and being loud or being visible and being truth and light in society, which is like the meat, salt is what we're supposed to be. So there's really no other way to be. Salt means that you're doing things.
That's right.
There's no sitting. There's no you sitting. There's no watching. You're involved.
So if you're the light of the world and you turn on the light, in other words, one man plants, I turned on the light, and somebody else plugged it into the wall, what happens? God sends the power, right? And that light becomes brighter and brighter and brighter. But the light doesn't shine till I turn it on. The light doesn't shine. It's potential energy. It's there. It's ready to be shining, but it will not shine till I turn it on. That's what we're missing here, folks. We're missing the authority. See, we are afraid. We do not believe that God will move on our behalf. We do not believe that God is for righteousness and against sin. And because we don't believe that, we will not go plant and we will not go water, because we don't know whether he'll keep his word. We don't know if what he's telling us is the truth. Come on in, Paul.
Hey, just a thought. You know, that old line that George Carlin said, that they're a part of a club and we ain't in it.
Right.
Why don't we turn the tables on these Kabbalist weirdos and tell them that I'm a part of a club, but you ain't.
We're the club. Hey, Paul, we are the club.
We have access and thing, the benefits and privileges that you don't even have. You don't even realize what you're a part of. You're a part of something that's going to die.
So you mean, Paul, you mean to tell me Jesus Christ died on that cross to let what we see go on today go on today? Are we really to believe that? If that is true, then he doesn't have all power. And the reason he's not exerting his power is because we won't turn on the light switch. We won't hit our power switch so his power can kick into that light. It's our fault, boys and girls. It ain't his. Randy.
Yeah, Coach, when we come on the show every day, if we go away with one truth that's real, one thing that's real and changes us, it was worth it. Coach, yesterday, Alan Zeifer said something. He said, according to your faith. That stayed with me all day, Coach, and it hit me hard. And then you played the centurion this morning, and Jesus is around all these people that for centuries have been waiting on him, and the centurion didn't know anything. He says, according to your faith. And he saw, he said, there I came, and I don't even see any faith in Israel. And he sees this centurion. He understands authority because he's a man of action.
Yes, sir. The centurion hit his switch, didn't he, Randy? He hit his switch. And he said, I know because I hit my switch. I know you're going to hit yours.
Amen.
God, this is so clear.
Coach, there's a scripture, Zechariah 13:4. I'm not trying to take this in a different direction. I think this is a powerful truth that will prove it. And he says that to Jesus, the day of Jesus, he says, you're going to see, you prophets are going to say, Jesus says, you're not prophets anymore. You are farmers. It's right there. Zechariah 13:4.
Coach, it came to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed, every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive, but he shall say, I am no prophet. I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth.
Coach, and then goes on and it talks and it goes right into this and it says, one shall say, what are the wounds in your hands? It's talking about the day of Jesus going to the cross. But look, Coach, here's the truth out of this. People, I say I'm a farmer. I plant seeds. Look at all the New Testament where Jesus talked about seeds, Coach. He was a farmer. He farmed. We're farmers. Coach, now prove it. Prove it. Show me your hands. Show me the wounds, Coach. Show me the proof you've laid down your life. Show me your wounds. Prove to me you're a farmer. And that's what the world, that's what we are, Coach. We're farmers. I've got wounds on me. I'm showing you. I'm too. A farmer, Coach.
Amen, baby. I am too. I got wounds. We ought to be able to show our wounds. Joe, come on in.
Thanks, Coach. When Michelle brought up the Adam, my belief is Adam lost his authority that God gave him to the enemy. And that has been reclaimed by Christ. And Amen. Only those who accept Christ as their Savior have that authority now. It used Amen. To be everybody, but now it's only Christians. Only us.
Divine authority. Divine authority passed to us, right? That was the whole idea of Jesus saying, it's finished. Listen. It's finished. Now you go into all the world. Why? Because I'm in charge and you're my delegated servant. You plant, you water, I'll hit my switch. Things will begin to happen. And the church has no faith to believe that God is the man of his word. Because why? We can't wait for things to get worse so we can get out of here. It's a theological issue, my friends. It's a conquering king and we don't believe he is. We don't believe he is. Janine.
Leads me to a follow-up.
Go, Joe.
Point. Now, Christ said, it is finished. Now, every time we say a little prayer to help us here, save us here, I'm afraid. If he's given us his authority, is he going to get up and do something again? I don't think so. I think he's told us, you can fix it. Here's how you fix it. I have fixed it for you. You just have to flick that freaking switch.
Yes. It's so friend. Simple, isn't it?
But we're not ever taught this. I remember I heard Kenneth Hagin, he said, you mean, Lord, I spent hours and hours and hours, years and years and years praying and they were just bouncing off because you'd already done everything? He said, yes, Kenneth. That's basically what they had. Kenneth had a conversation with the Lord. And if you, it really was an eye opener because it is finished. What does that mean?
It's finished. He's already turned on the water hose. You just got to pick it and grab the nozzle, right?
You got to put your bucket under and take it.
Oh, my goodness. Janine.
Amen, Joe. That was good. This is a great show. One of the things that we don't understand authority and we have abortion is because we don't understand the covenant between man and woman. We have a hymen, and you were supposed to stay until your husband broke that blood covenant between the two of you. Yes, now ma'am. We don't care. And that's why there's so much rampant abortion, so much sleeping around. You don't understand what's between a man and a woman, let alone
we don't understand covenant at all. We don't understand covenant at all. Cutting covenant, right? The mixing of my blood with my brother's blood. I am your brother. It's a blood covenant that cannot be broken. It cannot be broken. We can break it. We can break it. He won't break it. He will not break it. It's a covenant sealed in blood. But see, we don't hold up our end of it. Why? Doubt, fear, unbelief, whatever it is, cowardice. He said, go into all the world and teach them. Do we do that? No, we don't do that. We invite them to come to our church and maybe we'll teach them. Maybe we will. But we'll get it watered down and eventually we'll end up in a place where God is helpless to the government. We can't do anything about it, folks. Oh, my goodness. Kevin, come on in.
So, Coach, the impression I'm getting from what you're saying, to boil it down into the simplest statement, is that God is saying, hey, dude, can you give me something to work with here? Can you give me some materials to work with?
How about watering something here? Will you plant a hole and dig something for me I can work with?
Yeah. Hey, man, you keep asking me to build something, but then you just keep giving me an empty table to work with. Can you give me some material? Amen. Good stuff, Coach.
Amen. It is good stuff. Roger, then Artie. Roger, Leslie, then Artie. Go ahead.
Dave, what beautiful Bible today. Thank you. Thank you, church, for digging into his word. I've been praying the last month or so, and I don't know if this is good or bad, but I think in biblical times, what moved a lot of people, good or bad, is Jesus performed miracles that they saw. And I understand we shouldn't need miracles, but there's times I'm praying, Lord, bring us a miracle that is in the face of this world.
Amen.
To turn the heart. And again, I don't know if that's a great way to look at things, but sometimes I just want him to reveal himself so strongly that switch on this side, everybody will, or a lot of people will turn that switch for him.
Well, Roger, here's the thing. So when we go down to Kentucky, right, when we were in Kentucky, there was such a spirit there. Why? Because we were co-laborers. We were co-laborers. We were working together. There was a camaraderie there, and the Lord was working miracles in our midst. It was a co-laboring, right, folks? That's why we're working together with God, co-laborers. Leslie, then Artie.
Hey, good morning. I was up at 3:30 this morning listening to Genesis 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I kept thinking the very same thing. God did it. He rested, and then sin came, and then Jesus finished it. And I tell you, he has given us authority. He's waiting for us. So in Acts 1:8, it says, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, not being born again, but come upon you. So yes, that is what some people are missing. And James said in James, whatever it was, you know, you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss, that you consume it upon your lusts.
Yep.
So if we ask according to his will and we know he hears us, then we have what we've asked for.
But we got to go get it. We got to go get it. Artie, come on
yes,
in.
Sir.
Good morning, Coach. Good show today. I like what I've been hearing. You know, I believe there's going to be a day of reckoning for these health administrators that yes. are pushing these CDC protocols. I believe they're going to be judged legally and judged spiritually. And I want that to happen.
Oh, we got to make it happen, Artie. We got to make it happen. We got to hit our switch.
That's true. You know, people usurp authority. It's false authority. only authority that's going to stand is righteous authority. And like you said, we have to take it to the streets and do what we can do. But I want these hospital administrators, I want to take them to task for their wickedness, their love of money, and
We got to go hit our switch. The Lord's on our side. He's already hit his. We got to go hit our switch. We got to do something. Bless you. Gary, come on in quickly. Then, thanks, Artie. Gary. Dale.
Amen. So trying to figure it out.
Go, Dale.
New phone.
Gary, we're getting back. We're getting feedback on your phone. Go, Dale.
Amen, Coach. You know, if we don't move, that's what the great prophet Joel wrote in chapter 2, verse 17. It says we're interceding between where? Porch and the altar. The altar what? The altar of heaven. That's what Moses did, because if we don't do what God has called us to do, God gets real heavy-handed. What did he say to Moses? He said, step aside. He says, I'm going to wipe them all out. Moses petitioned the Lord and moved the Lord's heart to not destroy mankind at that time. I've given you the analogy. I shared it yesterday. Katrina meant cleansing, shut down the abortion clinics. Beaumont, Texas said, come on over here and we'll give you a free abortion. God sent Rita. Rita to shut down Beaumont, Texas. The homosexuals said, oh, the drag queen story hour thing in New Orleans was shut down on August 29th. And they said, come on down to Florida. We'll do it down here. God sent Wilma and flooded South Key, Florida with 4 feet of rain. Let me tell you what. If we don't move when God moves, he's really heavy-handed.
Randy, come on. Tracy, come in.
Good morning, everyone. Hey, Coach, don't ever come on and apologize for teaching. This I crave this. I love it when you come on here and teach the Bible. Thank you so much for this show today. It was amazing, and you should do it more often.
Amen. Turn your own switch on. You got to turn on your own damn switch, folks. He'll move. The problem's not him. The problem's us. It's not him. It's us. Gary, try it now. Randy.
Coach, let that be a truth to everyone. We are that co-laboring, Coach. Just put quotes around that. Everybody.
Co-laborers.
Co-labor. Coach, everywhere we build a righteous altar, God shows up and he does a miracle, Roger. He does a miracle. Every time we build a righteous altar, Coach, every time someone goes to the abortion clinic and stands in righteousness, God shows up and he builds a... He does a great thing. If we may not see it, but it's happening. We got to believe that. That's faith. Coach.
See, folks, listen, because we don't understand. See, sometimes when you go fight on behalf of the Lord, you get in trouble. The Bible says he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. Sometimes trouble leads to victory. Do you understand that, folks? Do you understand that that's what it means by laying down your life? Greater love has no man than this, than he would lay down his life for his friends. So I go lay down my life so somebody else, as Cliff Benham always said, I go throw my body on top of the barbed wire and tear down the barbed wire so that everyone else can run over the top of me on the way to victory. It's a laying down of our lives and a trust in God that he will use my sacrifice to do what he said he would do. But I have got to lay down my life. I've got to hit my switch. And if I don't, believe it or not, the only thing that will restrict the movement of God is my lack of faith and my lack of action. There's no reason why the devil ought to be ruling things and we're sitting around waiting to get out of here when he said, you guys have all power, all authority, go take control, and we haven't done it. Glenn, come on in, then Emma.
Yeah, great lesson, Coach. I was thinking about that analogy about the pilots, and I'm thinking, you know, the enemy's driving the plane, and the Christians are the passengers, and we're praying, but we have no control over the plane.
We're not even in the cockpit, Glenn. We're not even in the cockpit.
Well, I'm thinking it's time we go to flight school. We need to drive that plane.
Amen, baby. Emma, come on in.
January 6th last year, we began to be the ones over the barbed wire. And
that's right.
And it's not over because those guys aren't out of jail yet. And
yes, sir.
We're praying for them every night.
Go back and read that list of people in Ohio been arrested. The made-up charges these people are being charged with. Come on, Gary, can you get in here yet? Unmute yourself. Keith, go.
Yeah, Coach, stay away from Columbus International.
Why is that?
Because if somebody didn't take your instructions right, the planes might start falling out of the sky.
Yeah, we do put our faith in guys driving it. Woody, come in quickly, Woody.
Hey, so what's happening with Gary's phone is it's malfunctioning with
whatever. Okay, tell me, what's on your mind, Woody?
My mind is basically first, this is my first time being live on here, so I wanted to thank you for everything.
All right, Woody. God bless you, man. Hey, folks, listen. The Lord's hit his switch. He's already hit his switch. Or he could be sitting there waiting to do it. Be like on Jeopardy. He's ready to do it. But he's waiting on you to give the right answer. And the right answer is you're going to have to go plant and you're going to have to go water. We'll see you tomorrow. Don't forget, I'm off John today at 9 o'clock. God bless you. See you tomorrow.